You're listening to the People Over Profit podcast. Hi, I'm Justine Beauregard. Since 2008, I've been helping small businesses and entrepreneurs increase their income in ways that feel good to them. For decades, we've been led to believe that business is just a numbers game, but really, it's a relationships game. On this show, you'll learn what it takes to create more income without sacrificing your integrity or your joy to do it. With fresh takes on sales, marketing, and other growth-focused topics, you'll be able to lead your business or team to greater success by focusing on quality connections, not vanity metrics. If you believe in putting people first, you belong here. Now, let's spend some quality time together. I've listened to every single episode of the Smart List podcast. If you're a fan of that podcast too, let me know. I'd love to connect about it. But on one of the episodes, they talked about the concept of authenticity. And I remember Will Arnett saying something like, the moment you try to be authentic, you're inauthentic. Authenticity is just being true to yourself. So you don't need to try to do or to be anything. You just are who you are. Authenticity is effortless. And authenticity isn't just the one time that this concept proves true. I see examples of trying to do something as failing to do something all over the place, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship or running a business. So today I want to talk to you about it. Not just where and how trying is failing, but specific examples of what you can do in each of these scenarios instead so that you can create more wins. So I want to just kick this off with a real zinger, okay? Urgency. We all know what it sounds like when someone is trying to create urgency when they're selling. Clock's running out. This is your last chance. You're never going to see this offer again. And sure, that works, but it can also destroy trust when it doesn't. And I'll give you an example. I saw a Facebook ad a few weeks ago that was actually really good. They got me to click from the ad to their landing page, and I was scrolling all over. I had spent at least 5 minutes on this page, and I came very close to buying their offer. Then a banner popped up, and it said, last chance, our 40% off sale ends tonight. I was really curious as a salesperson, if I did not buy this offer, would that 40% still be there the next day? So, because I'm a curious person, I waited. And guess what? It was still there the next day, and it was also there a week later. I never ended up buying that offer for two reasons. Number one, I really don't like inauthentic selling. And number two, I knew that I could go back whenever I wanted to, and it would still be there. Either that offer or some other offer that they were pushing as a last chance sale. And it actually reminds me of that store from You Don't Mess With the Zohan. If you've ever seen that movie with Adam Sandler, the store always says going out of business. Like it might even be the name of the store in the movie. And it works. People go in all the time. Oh my gosh, it's 75% off. They just increase the prices to sell it close to regular pricing and still have margins, right? Like that's what every business does whenever they're getting rid of inventory. There have to be healthy margins to be able to offer sales and discounts. And retail is one of the most famous for doing that. But in my opinion, ethical urgency isn't manufactured. It's meaningful. It has a purpose. There are plenty of ways to create ethical urgency when you're selling, like limiting what you sell to a certain quantity based on your ability to fulfill it, or placing a deadline on something because you want to shift to another promotion or offer, or giving people limited time discounts like one day shipping that makes it easier for them to get the items they need quicker, especially around holiday seasons. You can also create ethical urgency with messaging. Let's say you're a divorce mediation specialist and you're selling your services year round because divorce doesn't fall in a timeline or a season with the messaging, when you want to skip big lawyer fees, hire me instead. That is okay messaging, but urgency, that's a different kind of messaging. Urgency is created with more specific language. A more relatable set of circumstances. In this case, it would be the pain of divorce, and usually a little bit of storytelling mixed in. So instead of saying, when you want to skip the big lawyer fees, hire me, you would say something like, getting divorced is hard enough. Tack on the thousands of dollars in the attorney fees, months of drawn out court dates, and you're stuck in the pain of your divorce far longer than you deserve. By working with a mediator like me, you can come to an agreement with your ex-partner within a few weeks at a fraction of the price of hiring an attorney. It's no risk to reach out and have a conversation. All you need to do is call me and then provide your phone number. Right? Do you see the difference? In the first scenario, it's very broad. In the second scenario, it feels like you're talking directly to somebody who is tired of all the things that go along with divorce, who sees the light at the end of the tunnel and doesn't want to wait to get there anymore. It's specific. It's relatable. It's a little bit of storytelling. Now, let's move to another example of when trying is failing, and that is trying to make money. I want you to think about how many times someone has asked you, how's it going in your business? Have you hit your goals? And you say, I'm trying. I have tried to make money in my business many times. And guess what happened? I made no money. One specific instance I can remember is when I first started my business and I was trying really hard. I was putting in 60 to 80 hours a week and I made $0 for 3 months straight. So what happened? Well, obviously, hindsight's 20/20. I would never do that again, at least not the way that I did it. But I was trying instead of focusing on and trusting my plan to make money. And that made me super inconsistent with my actions. So I started off really strong. I was energized. I had a plan. All the things I was doing every day was like creating this momentum. And then a deal would fall through, or I would be ghosted, or someone would say no. And I just kept getting so disheartened. I started to not trust the plan. I started to not believe in myself. And when I felt like that plan that I set out to achieve wasn't working well enough or fast enough, I completely lost my motivation and my focus, and I moved to other things. I found myself easily distracted by other people's success. I was vulnerable to their thoughts and actions and ideas. And suddenly, instead of just doing what I intended and set out to do to begin with, I was finding myself mimicking other people's ways of marketing and selling and even offering to do things that were outside of what I wanted to offer and outside of my comfort zone for a fraction of what I would have made if I had just stuck to my own plan to begin with. I went from revising someone's bio on LinkedIn, which was probably the worst thing that I took on as a project, for like $75, to selling $3,000 marketing strategies like they were popsicles on a hot day. Okay, like super easy to sell, way higher ticket, way more aligned with my skill set, way more fun for me. I'm sharing this with you because if you notice that what I described before the successful part, that period of hustle and grit and changing lanes and not sticking to the plan and not trusting yourself and not believing in yourself, if you notice that that is happening to you, I want you to do two things for me. The first one is to ask yourself why it may not be working yet. Usually it's a simple fix, something that we just fail to see because we're moving a mile a minute and we're only focused on what we can't change, like other people's opinions of us. And the second thing I want you to do, once you've identified why the plan that you set out may not be working yet, is attempt to fix that thing. So let's say you are selling shapewear to moms over 40, and you notice that it might not be working yet because you have no connections in that market. You have only your friends and family, and you really need to reach a broader audience. So you decide to attempt to fix that by attending several events for women over 40 that are happening locally in your area. Or maybe you reach out to an influencer who's over 40 and matches your target demographics, psychographics, and you offer several free pieces of shapewear for them to try for free and share if they love it. Now notice what I said before. Attempt to fix it. I'm saying that very specifically because I want to take the burden off of you to solve your problems in a single action, okay? The first time you try to tackle a problem, it's pretty unlikely that it's going to be completely solved, right? You may have to go through many iterations before you totally find your successful path. But by focusing on what you can do, what is available to you, you won't be distracting yourself with all the things that you could do otherwise. And finally, I want to talk about trying to track the key metrics of your business. Business is math, and math matters. Okay, I know this podcast is called People Over Profit, and your mental health and well-being matters more than any metric or any number in your business. So if this feels overwhelming to you, which is probably why you're trying to do it in the first place instead of just doing it, outsource it. The first thing that I did as a business owner was outsource my bookkeeping. And I like to say that I enjoy making money, not managing it. But math is a set of checks and balances, pluses and minuses, ones and zeros. It's binary. It's one of the few areas of your business where there is actually a right and wrong. So if I asked you right now, what's your average monthly revenue? What's the lifetime value of a customer to you? What are your customer acquisition costs? What's your net profit? Would you know how to answer those questions? Because if you don't, something has to change. Knowing these numbers and knowing that they are where you want them to be is the difference between having a hobby and a business. And I say that with love because you deserve to have a business if you want one. And you deserve to know that your business is working when you have one. If your business does not generate a profit, it will not be a business for long. I see so many businesses fail simply because they don't track their metrics. And this is an easy fix. Maybe what you find you need to do to fix it is a little more complex, but knowing is the first step. Businesses require money to survive. Just like humans require shelter and water and food, we will die without those things. And your business deserves to survive. It deserves to thrive, to live, to breathe. And you have to keep feeding it with what it requires. The best part about this, though, is that most payment capture software, most of the ways you're going to take in money in your business, like Stripe or Square or PayPal, they actually give you these numbers in a dashboard. You don't even have to calculate them yourself, like I did when I started my business. Everything was manual in a spreadsheet. It was a nightmare. So all you need to do is log in and start looking for some of these numbers, or even just Googling, how do I find my average monthly revenue in Square? And there's going to be a video probably, and like a walkthrough step-by-step of instructions on how to go find it. So if you are someone who has not consistently tracked your metrics, who is trying to do it, but is inconsistent or struggling with it, or you just don't know where to go next, what to do next, I have two things for you to do. The first is to figure out your best way to start calculating them. So it could be these metrics, and probably should be, along with anything else that feels important to you. So maybe you sell clothing and you want to measure what the average order volume is per customer, or inventory numbers, or different things like that. Or maybe you leverage partners to sell all of your services and you want to track things like, what's my referral percentage? What are my retention metrics? Anything that makes sense for your business, you want to know the key numbers behind that thing. Then, number two, you want to create a simple system to track these on a regular basis. So when I say simple, I mean simple, okay? We don't want to overcomplicate the system. So I personally love using calendar reminders and a Google Sheet with all the numbers that influence the health of my business, like that monthly revenue number, the customer lifetime value number, things like that. If you're feeling crazy, you can turn those numbers into a basic line graph because it's already in a spreadsheet. So you can actually visualize your changes month to month and make sure that you're going in the right direction, that you're on the right track. Sometimes for me, just logging in and seeing, oh, this is trending up. That's good, right? Or this is staying the same, which is what I want. Or this is going down, which was my goal, right? It depends on what the number is. But sometimes just looking at it from a visual perspective can really make it simple. And even sometimes exciting and fun to track these. Just saying, I don't know. It is for me, but just see how it feels for you. I don't know. We could be different. But there you have it. Those are three ways that trying is failing in business and what you can do to try less and start winning more by taking some simple actions and putting your attention on what matters most in your business. Because at the end of the day, I want you to be successful. And you can be. You have everything inside of you to get exactly where you want to go. And you're never given more than you can handle. I really believe that. So I hope that you take at least one of the things we talked about today and put it into practice, or just look for an area of your life where things feel like they're taking a little bit more effort. That's how you know when you're trying to do something. And what you want to work on is creating less friction and having less effort go into the things that really impact your business in a positive way. If you found this episode helpful, hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't yet, please rate and review the show. I appreciate your honest feedback. Plus, it helps more people find this content so they can grow their businesses by putting people first too. And if you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, send them to justine@justinebeauregard.com. I can't wait to hear from you, and I'll see you next week.